laugh, but I'm happy about it, my friend. Praise the Lord. Wednesday was such a strange kind of day. You know, last week we got canceled out because of the snowstorm and, you know, just stuff going on. I do not like to cancel church, in case anybody. If you ask me, I'm going to say, no, we're having church. In fact, somebody had texted me a little while before the snowstorm. I looked out the window. I can still see the grass. We're having church. Well, about church time, I'm on my way here, sliding. Snow is going, blizzard's happening. No, it wasn't a blizzard, but it was snowing pretty heavy. So, reluctantly, sadly, I asked Brother Dyke to send out the email. Everybody stay home. Praise the Lord. But I'm happy to be in church today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am. I don't know that there's any other place I would rather be than to be in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. On Wednesday, it was strange. Again, it wasn't snowing, but it was cold outside. And then about 5 o'clock, I got this text on my phone, which is attached to the thermostat, and it said, there's something wrong with the heater. And I looked at the heater, and it was cold in the church. Oh, man. I don't want to cancel again. So we came. We put my little propane heater in the back room. Blazed that thing up. And the room was now, you know, it is running for half an hour or so. And that little propane heater blows out pretty good. So it's about, I don't know, 75 or so degrees back there. Nice and toasty warm. Sanctuary is still kind of cool. Heater's working overtime trying to catch up. But five people from youngsters, grandkids to grandma, and people in between were baptized on Wednesday evening. Praise the Lord. Five of them. And then last Friday, we were at the North American Missions Rally, which is where our Christmas for Christ funds go to. We were at that celebration service with our North American missions team. And there was, of course, an altar call at the end of that service. And my granddaughter, Rachel, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, the devil wants to send things, bad things your way. And life happens even to those who love God. But God is good all the time. I'm telling you, God is good even when life happens. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me hit enough of the commercials. Christmas for Christ is done next week. I think you'll get your total. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 12. Just one verse and I'll let you be seated. Acts chapter 8, verse number 12. But when they believed, would you say those three words with me? When they believed. But when they believed, Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm excited about what God is doing. Amen. I'm happy for what God is doing. When they believed, would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask you right now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, your will be done here today. Lord, put words in my mouth. And Lord, quicken my understanding. And help us, Lord, to receive what is of your word. That it is by your word, Lord, we will know you. Have your way here today. Thank you for your favor. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God is so good. Amen. This space, this portion of Scripture in the book of Acts, it's the actions of the apostles, in case you didn't know. It's what they did in the Bible times when the New Testament church was being recorded. They were writing down the things that were happening in the church. It's very interesting, this chapter. In fact, it gives us so many things to think about because it is just like our lives. That church then is just like this church. Those people then that were being saved and converted and changed are just like us. Amen. It's awesome. Let me back up here in the Word of God and begin to read again in this same chapter, Acts chapter 8. But let me begin at verse number 1 and read some more. Acts 8 verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. They had killed Stephen for preaching. They were persecuting the believers of Jesus Christ. They were against Jesus' name preaching. It happened here in the Bible. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. It was very sad. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. They were afraid, they were running, but they were preaching. You know, even when life happens, the church recorded in the Bible still had faith in God. Amen. What an awesome thing, man. We can learn from this. Amen. When life happens, believe in God. Amen. Verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Remember, he's running from the persecution. People that are after the Jesus name preachers are trying to get him. And he left Jerusalem, left where the church was, and he went to another city to preach. Amen. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Man, the Word of God, when I consider what is really happening in the Word of God, it's an exciting event. It is something that speaks volumes to us. Because the world is trying to persecute us. The world wants to come against those that are living a righteous life, that believe in Jesus Christ. They don't want to preach. They don't want to have anything to do with God in school or in college or in the business place or in our society or in our government. You know, they are our society has been bent against the kingdom of God. Just like their day. Just like it was back then. It is now. You see, revival always starts and revival continues under the preached word of God. Amen. Man, I want to hear preaching. I want to hear of the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Never underestimate the power of the preached word of God. In fact, I was I'll often tell people the word is what will keep us. if you understand what the Word of God, not what he said or she said or they say or them or whoever, not what everybody else is saying, but what the Word of God has to say. It's powerful. It'll keep us. Amen. Never underestimate the preached Word of God, because the preached Word of God stirs our mind, challenges us to understand the Word. It's not the preacher. It's not the evangelist. But it is the Word. Amen. Doesn't matter how long you've been living for God. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. I'm a lot older than that now. But God's still showing me things. God's still leading me in things. God's still opening my understanding. And now I have come to the place where everything I see and everything I do and everything I understand is filtered by the Word of God. Man, you can read the newspaper. The Word of God said that was going to happen. The Word of God, I know what to do now because of the Word of God. It's powerful. It carries with it the Word. The anointing is carried by the Word. Amen. It's powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Well, I can tell you right now, it's not in Tom Greeley. It is in Jesus Christ. Amen. If I have anything good to say, it will be about Jesus Christ. Amen. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any. He's talking about in Corinth, that is. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I'm not a fancy speaker. I'm not real good at big, long words. I struggle trying to say some of the places and people that are recorded here in the Bible. You know, they got big, long names. And I struggle with that. But I do know who Jesus is. Amen. I have had an experience with Jesus. I can tell you how good God is. Because God is good. God has been, is now, and will be good. Amen. I can speak with confidence when I'm talking about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did I read verse 17? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Yeah, I preached. How about the next verse, 18? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Let me pause right there for a moment. You know, sometimes we'll try to relay some of the principles of the kingdom of God, or what the Word of God has to say, or what I heard in the preacher's sermon last night. You know, I'll be at my desk at work, and you know, it just seems like it's falling on deaf ears. That some people don't even really understand what I just said. You know, how good God is. How that God opened blinded eyes or opened ears that were deaf or healed a broken bone or God saved a soul. God cast out demons. God remitted sin. God did great things. And they're not even excited about it. I'm bubbling over. It's so great. And it's like, did they even hear what I had to say? Sometimes it seems like it's falling on deaf ears. So those the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, whew, that makes a difference. Unto us, you and me, if you believe in Jesus Christ, it makes a difference to you. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There's a whole bunch of really smart people in our world that know nothing about God. Perhaps they're brilliant in their field of study. But if you don't know about Jesus, you just don't know. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to find out the things of God in the world. You're not going to find out how good God is in the flesh, in the carnality of our society. It pleased God, get this now, by the foolishness, now that really means absurdity, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. God created the world with the power of His Word. He spoke it into existence. Yet He allows that Word, this Word right here, the Holy Word, He allows it to be preached by human beings. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Amen. Preaching will save them that believe. Amen. Why is that? Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Our Christmas for Christ offering is sending people to build the kingdom of God. It's placing churches in places that did not have churches. It's building up small churches to be strong churches. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I can tell you, my friend, that God is good. Amen. God's ways are higher than my ways. But when I follow after God, God will bring me to where I need to be. God will see me through. Beautiful feet isn't particularly an attractive thing. My feet are probably pretty ugly. You know, crooked and old. It really means how timely. God's Word can be timely. You know, there might be two or three or four different people that will think, how did Pastor know what just happened last night? No, nobody came and told me what to preach about. Nobody told me about your problem. But the Word of God will tell you what you need to do. Amen. It'll direct our path. It'll give us insight into what's coming and what is to be done. a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's perfectly placed by God for us. Amen. The preaching of the gospel will break chains. Amen, Brother Dyke made a chain breaker app. And there's some people here that are going through those scriptures and breaking habits and getting faith and encouragement and strengthening themselves. Not because of an app, but because of the Word of God. Because of what God said in His Word. Amen. You see, here in the Bible, they preached in the cities, in the country, in the synagogues, in the streets and in the houses. They went everywhere preaching the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. It's human nature to go against God's ways. If you just go your own way, if you just do your own thing, if you just try to do it by yourself, guess what? You're going to fall in the ditch. Amen. Preaching requires the ingredient of belief or faith in the Word of God in order for that to work in our lives. Amen. Let me go back here to Acts chapter 8, picking up where I left off at verse number 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. He's preaching there in that city, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. People are being delivered. And many taken with palsies. They were sick with diseases. And that were lame were healed. Great stuff's happening. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. You know, I've been in church services where these very things have happened. Amen. People have been delivered from unclean spirits. People have been healed in their body or sicknesses and diseases in their flesh. I've seen broken bones healed, put back together before my very eyes. Legs grow. Eyes see. Ears hear. I tell you, God is good. And every time any of those things happen, there's great joy. My broken finger is healed. That doesn't make you sad. That makes you glad. Amen. Or any of the other things. I've never seen somebody receive a miracle from God or a touch from the Lord and ever, not one time, ever be sad about it. Every single time with every single person, it's always great joy. Amen. When you believe, miracles happen. Great joy comes. Today, just like it was there in the Bible. It's the same now as it was then. God's the same God today as He was back there in the pages of the Bible. He has His Word. has the power to produce change in our spiritual life. Now, if you find yourself still going or caught up in or surrounded by or overwhelmed with those frustrating circles of life, you know what I'm talking about. Habits that you had and came back. You know, things that are not good, you don't want to do, but you still do. Thinking that's not according to the word that you still think. If those things are still happening in your life, then you are a candidate for God to change your situation. Amen. The preaching was good then. It worked then. The preaching's good now. It's still available now. It's still the same word of God now. God still delivers now. God still does miracles now. God still heals people now. God still delivers people now. God still remits sin, pays for sin now. God still fills people with the Holy Ghost when you're 6 years old, now. So if it's working back then and working still now, then the problem might be in us. It's not, God's not the one with the problem. I'm telling you, God can change your life. God can deliver you. It's not a maybe or a might or sometimes or a few folks. No, I'm telling you, it's for every single soul that will believe. If you will believe on this word and believe in Jesus Christ, then this truth is for you. Every one of us. All of us. No exceptions. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. It's got an important part right here. Not being mixed with faith. I'm telling you, everybody in this room can hear my words. And these words are about Jesus Christ. It's about the Word of God. It is powerful. It is able. It will change your life if you will believe. Now, anybody can reject it. You can choose not to believe in Jesus. You can choose not to live for God. You can. It is a choice that is available to you not to believe in Jesus. But when you make that choice, you are giving up the blessings that God has in store for them that believe. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Amen. Believe the Word of God. Believe what it says. Believe the power that God has given to us in His Word. And it will bless your life. It will change things in your situation. I'm telling you, God can, will, and He's able to help you. James said, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. And we got to come to Jesus, not we ought to come to Jesus in meekness. Oh, I should be saved because my daddy was a preacher. No, my daddy wasn't a preacher. But you can be saved. Amen. Faith is what engrafts the word into us. Amen. Believe the word of God. Faith and obedience is what it takes from the pages of the life, from the pages into our lifestyle. We gotta engraft the word into our nature, into our desires, into our want-tos. Amen. The engrafted word of God will change us. Amen. Preaching should produce joy, not heaviness. I'm not here to hit people on the head. Oh, quit doing that. Quit, stop that. No. I'm here to say, come find Jesus. Come get healed. Come get saved. Come get delivered. I'm telling you, come unto Him. That's the preaching that I want to preach. Come unto Jesus and you'll see the difference. There was a rich young ruler. He thought he was really good. And he said, you know, all these things I've kept. And he's generous. And he's, you know, he's got a bunch of good characteristics. But he went away sorrowful. Because he chose to keep the things of the world. Jesus invited him to come and follow me. Give unto the poor and come. And he invited him to be a disciple. And he turned him down. Let me go back to Acts. That really is not my primary point in my message. Acts is where I want to point this out. Picking up where I left off, verse number 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. You know, in the flesh, people will exalt themselves, or, you know, they'll say that they have authority when really they don't. Not with God. Not in God. Not of God. That's the case here with this man. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying this man is the great power of God. He deceived a lot of people. It was not God's power. It was Satan's power. It was uncleanness that he had. Verse 11, and to him they had regard because of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. God does not trick us. God's not out to deceive us. No, that's not God's way. God's way is to give you light. God's way is to give you understanding. God's way is to give you truth. Verse 12. But when they believed, here we go, this is where I started. Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Yeah, we baptize people on Sunday. We're going to baptize somebody today. Amen. After church today. After the pastor's lunch. Praise the Lord. They were baptized. When you start mixing faith with the preached word of God and people believing, it stirs our human nature toward God. Everything is in that package. All you got to do is add water. Get baptized. Not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because those are titles. The power is in the name of Jesus. Get baptized in Jesus, the power name. Amen. Praise the Lord. No other name. I could do that scripture too. Amen. I think I may. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Every one of us was in sin, right? But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, or that's teaching, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, that's after you're baptized, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, my purpose has changed when I believe in Jesus Christ. My want to's change when I believe in Jesus Christ. Notice the connection, believing and obeying. We got to both believe and we have to obey. Amen. Obey is not a dirty word, by the way. There is a correct form of doctrine, teaching, in the Word of God. And this teaching, this Word of God, is able to save your soul. Amen. When they believed the preaching of the name of Jesus Christ, it is the name of Jesus that makes all the difference in this world. Amen. And in eternity, might I add. Amen. When they believed the preaching of the name of Jesus Christ, it is in the name of Jesus that makes the difference. Amen. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 12, we heard this already. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You don't have to have a seminary education, which I'm not against Bible college. Some of the best people on earth that I know went to Bible college. Praise the Lord. I'm not against Bible college. But you don't have to go to Bible college to get saved. Amen. In fact, you should be saved before you go to Bible college. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where that came from. That's not actually in my notes. Back to Acts. Let me go to the Word. Picking up where I left off, verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the Word of God, here they were. Remember, man, people are being delivered from demons. People are being delivered or healed from diseases. People are having sicknesses gone. They're being healed in their body. They are being delivered. There's great joy. Everybody's happy. God's doing great things. Man, it's really revival time in Samaria. Great things by the hand of God are being throughout all the people. Everybody has something good that God has done in your life. Peter and John went, who when they come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Wait. Didn't I receive the Holy Ghost when I had that demon cast out of me? Didn't I receive the Holy Ghost when I was healed from that disease? When cancer was put out of my body? When the broken bone was set straight? When my leg was healed? When my back got better? The list goes on and on and on. God does all kinds of really great stuff. But none of those things. None of them. That's all good stuff now. Good, great things by the hand of God. But that was not the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't. It was good. It was God. It was miraculous. It's a miracle. But it was not the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet, now this is proof positive, for as yet, all those people, good stuff happening, all those miracles, wonder signs, and good feelings, great joy. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So don't stop when you're already on the path to being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. People are still receiving the Holy Ghost today. People are still speaking in other tongues as God gives them the utterance. God is still filling people's lives with the presence and the power of God. Power to overcome sin. Power to have knowledge of the Word. God will give you understanding that you didn't understand before. In the Holy Ghost. Something happened. That was powerful in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And it happened all over again in Samaria. Acts chapter 8. And the same thing happens in Uncasville, Connecticut. When people are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, they're going to speak with other tongues. They're going to receive the power of Almighty God in their life. It'll transform and empower. It'll enlighten. It's God in us. It's the infilling of God's Spirit. Scripture here calls it the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Here we go. If man can mess it up, people will. I don't even like to really read this part, but here it's the Word of God. I still have to give you this part too. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Or that they would speak in tongues when I give it to them. And I'm sure glad I don't have the power to give anybody the Holy Ghost. But God can give anybody the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. He offered him money, saying, give me this power on whosoever I lay hands on, that he may receive the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because that thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. It's not about the money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. He's calling out sin. He's calling out unright thinking. He's calling out what it is, sin. And pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Nobody wants to be cursed by God. I'm telling you, you can't buy it, but you can have it. You got to believe it And you got to obey the Word of God and receive it. Amen. He made a mistake when he thought he could buy it. It's not for sale. Amen. He made a mistake when he thought that he could use it for his own ministry and for self-gain or for self-promotion. See, he was used to having power over people. He wanted to retain power over people. But the Word of God is not to give you power over people. It's so that God can have power over people. God, Jesus, wants to be the sovereign in your life. He, Jesus, is the one who is my Savior. He's my Lord and my God. He's the all in all, the great and holy one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm preaching to you today, and I believe in preaching. Because it enlightens us of the Word. If I can get you to believe what the Word of God has to say, then my job is done. Amen. A miracle can happen in your life. Luke 24, verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It was fulfilled in the book of Acts. It took place in the pages of the Bible. It has taken place right here in this church. People have repented. People are being baptized. People shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the same New Testament church happening today that happened back then. It's right now. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You see, they were there when they said, give us Barabbas. You know, they wanted the murderer, the thief, the other guy. Release the bad guy and take Jesus away. They were guilty of that sin. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What a perfectly honest question. Every one of us should have that question. Every one of us should ask that question of God. God, what do you want me to do? Verse 38 hangs on a sign right behind me. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Tells us what to do. Now it's going to tell us why we're to do it, for the remission of sins. It's how our sins get paid for, in the name of Jesus Christ. Without the name of Jesus, there is no remission of sins. You cannot get your sins paid for before God without the name of Jesus. And ye shall. Someone say shall. It says it right there. You can put your finger on the page. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. Man, I love this one. This is one of my very favorite verses in the whole Bible. For the promise. Someone say promise. God makes a promise. Is unto you and to your children. Don't be afraid to have children if you are in Jesus Christ. I've heard it said, oh, I don't know if I want to bring kids into this world. You know what? God is going to take care of me and my children. I have it by a promise in the Word of God. Here it is. Put your finger on the page. This promise is mine. I believe this promise. And it's to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing the plan. He's not changing His mind. And with many other words, He did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Man, if they were had wicked thinking back then, they didn't even have an iPhone. They didn't have a computer. They didn't have the television or movies or media. They didn't have any of that stuff. How much more do we need God right now? Amen. Stand with me, musicians. Would you come one more place in Scripture? 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He gave Himself for us, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus did not stay in the grave. He rose again to newness of life, but was quickened by the Spirit. And God will quicken you by His Spirit. Verse 19, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. He's making a similitude or an example, if you will. Wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Eight people were in the ark. And they were saved above the sin by the water that swept the sin away. Verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Baptism is how our sins are remitted. It's how the name of Jesus is applied to our lives. Is in the baptism in the name of Jesus. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It doesn't undo all the sins that you did. Comma. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. God has paid for that sin. And before God, there is no more sin. Amen. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it is in the name of Jesus that we are saved. Would you lift your hands with me? Would you love the Lord with me? I tell you, God can change any life. God can do the miraculous. Let's love the Lord. In fact, this altar is open. Why don't we spend the next few moments in worshiping, praising, and loving the Lord together? I invite you, come and join us. Worship the Lord with us. Trust God right now. Lord, I love You. I praise You. Lord, have Your way today. Lord, even in this people. In Jesus' name.